You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Boom! That's a bad outfit! Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me! My turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough!
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough!
Well, who am I?
Sure enough!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, to issue 96 of Geek Watch 1. I know that because we planned the next four episodes.
That's right.
And issue 100, we're still trying to figure out exactly what we're going to do. But we're getting there rapidly.
We are.
I mean, it is getting real close. And we're going to have something really special, but the next four we have figured out.
Yep. Yeah, I love how I was telling you, like, suggesting what we were going to do on the next few, and you're like, oh, well, we can do that one before the meatball. I'm like, no, this week is before the meatball.
Yeah. March is moving really, really fast.
Well, it doesn't help that the very end of March is, like, a Friday or something, so that really kind of messes with the timing.
But, actually, since next week, remember, everybody, this is the Meeplecast, the last Monday of every month, and this time, we had talked about talking Beauty and the Beast, because we don't talk Disney much.
Right.
Well, we're going to tackle the new round of Disney live-action movies, started with Maleficent, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, Alice in Wonderland was before that, wasn't it?
Alice before everyone.
Yeah,
yeah,
that one.
Yeah,
I've not seen the two Alice in Wonderlands, and I've not seen Cinderella yet. But I don't know if Cinderella's on Netflix or not, is it?
I didn't check if it was. I don't think
it
was.
It should be. But I saw Pete's Dragon's up there, that should be already.
Yeah, but they only just added Pete's Dragon and Jungle Book.
Yeah, Jungle Book we did see.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fun. It did basically what Beauty and the Beast has. It looks like it's done.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about this next week.
But exactly.
This is a taste of what you're going to get. Pete's Dragon we have to watch this week.
Yeah.
Because that is on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. I want to see everybody come out to the Meeple. What was that, Vicky?
I was going to say, it kind of just shows that Disney actually knows what they're doing when it comes to movies. I wish some others would follow in suit and learn, but maybe they won't.
Yeah. Well, we know that Disney knows what they're doing, because look what they've done with Marvel and with Lucasfilm,
mm-hmm.
and Disney's like, you know what? Make the movies and make it right.
That's right.
Right.
So remember, that's next week at the Malted Meeple. Everybody come out. We had, what, almost 20 people there last
time. We had a crowd last, like an actual crowd.
And that is awesome.
We were running out of seats in that room.
Concoction, we did good, too. We had a lot of the panel.
From the How to Podcast panel, we had a bunch of people come and watch us actually do a podcast, which I know Mark really liked that option, the fact that we could tell people this is how you start a podcast.
And then actually do one.
And
right.
So I was talking to him. We may try to do something like that at Con on the Cob also.
Yeah.
Since he always drafts us into his panels when we're
exactly.
there. Well, we did the same thing last year, and we're probably going to do it again this year.
Right.
Working together. So, but that's way off in November.
We got a ways to go.
We actually have a special guest with us, which hopefully you guys won't never hear on the show. If we do things right.
Well, that'll remain to be seen, I think.
Well, we talked about it a little bit the last couple of weeks. Vicky and I actually have an addition to the family. We have Cassie here with us. Miss Dawn's taking bunches of pictures.
It's
so you'll
a girl!
See it.
Well, we told everybody Cassie's pregnant.
Yeah. Well, a cute little chihuahua puppy. Lots and lots of personality. Lots and lots of chewing and eating.
And no noise.
Yes. And she's not yippy. That's awesome.
She's very similar to what Lucy was.
Yeah. Yes. So, but she's walking or wandering around and
getting into trouble, finding things to eat.
This week, that's what Vicky and I did. Well, Dawn and Kylan, what did you guys do this week?
We paid a lot of money to a mechanic and to the dentist.
Yeah.
You break your truck again? Kylan, it may be time
okay,
for
a new
one.
Okay, no, he didn't break the truck. We needed new brakes. We knew that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was just timing that it was just kind of like, okay, we have to do this now, and...
Yeah.
What he did break was the crown on his tooth.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that is never a good thing.
No,
how long ago did you have that put on?
Oh, it's been a while.
It's been like 10 years.
Yeah, okay.
It's been a while.
Because Vicky actually had one break, but it was less than, it was like 2.5 years since she had it put on.
Not even that much.
Wow. So the nice thing is our vet.
Yeah, my vet.
We've been scheduling vet stuff for the new puppy fight. Our dentist, the office, realizes, like, you know what, within 3 years, that's not supposed to happen.
Exactly.
So they covered the cost on this, and they're going to go back to the company who made the crown.
Oh, nice.
They realized that something was wrong with the crown.
Yeah.
If it broke that quick.
Well, they were having issues with it because they said that, it was not good.
Well, the thing is, for Kylan, it was on a front tooth.
Oh!
So he couldn't.
Did you get the gold tooth put on?
No.
So, well, the thing is, it happened on, was it Wednesday night? And because it was literally broken in two. And we had some of that special little putty cement that you can use for dental work that you can buy at the store. So I actually glued it together using E6000, which is used for crafts. So it set overnight, and then the next morning we used some of that dental cement and popped it back on so we could at least go to work for half a day.
Yeah.
You didn't want to go in and have a tooth missing?
No, I
you
didn't know.
You had a great story for that.
God, no.
Fight Club.
Fight
Club. I could have put makeup on your face and everything. Could have been Fight Club.
I did mine the Sunday of August.
They would have believed it.
Oh.
Just before.
Yeah.
So that was our exciting weekend.
I still say you thought about it though, didn't you? Having to put a gold tooth on there.
That involves paying for a gold tooth.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be gold, but
that's
it could
true.
Look gold.
Plated. It could be plated.
Yeah, but you know, if you're gonna go, it needs to go big or go home.
Platinum
tooth.
Yeah, if you
could do that, you just get the you just get the grill,
the full grill, full diamond grill. Yeah, that's what we need. Kylan with the diamond grill up top.
Damn.
That fits so well with Kylan's personality.
We had GW1 on it.
GW1. That's right.
Mr. Thug himself.
That's right. I'm so hood, you don't know.
There you go.
So, have we heard from Andy? Is there any big news about Oddball or anything coming up real quick?
He hasn't given us any big news. I mean, it's just kind of the usual.
Well, we know it's
coming up in May.
Exactly. In May, we got two different Oddballs. Remember, May 6th and 7th is the big one at the John S. Knight Center in downtown Akron. Come on and hang out. Now's the time to make your plans. It's free to come to the show. So if you got to travel a little distance, you don't have to pay to get in.
That's right.
No, you don't.
So, and then we have May 20th is the brand new Riverside Ramble at the Stadium Park in Canton, Ohio. One day outdoor Oddball. So
all along the river, and there's trees, and there's going to be food trucks and entertainment.
The Coop Club's going to be there.
Yep.
We'll have two stages with music.
There you go.
Which is something we've not done since the early days of the Knight Center.
That's right. That's true.
So Mike and I, one of us will probably work on one stage, the other one working the other one.
I mean, the whole thing is spread out pretty nicely, so that two stages make sense for that.
So come on out and say hello. So we don't have any news. We have some news coming up for Mother Wife, but that's coming.
It's secret for the moment.
That's right. And it involves Geekwatch 1, too.
It does.
And we also have... See, I like teasers. We have a teaser of something coming soon, possibly from our friends up in Toronto.
That's right.
Yep.
We have friends everywhere.
If you guys go back and listen to episode 11, you'll know who we're talking about.
All the way back. Who could it be?
I don't know.
Who knows?
And maybe if you go in the morning on the AM time, you might figure out who we're talking about. So, Miss Dawn, you had some news snippets.
I do have some news snippets. Okay, my quick ones this time around are Legion has been renewed for a second season already.
Okay.
Nice.
We still have to watch that.
Oh my god, you have to watch that. And interestingly, Patrick Stewart has said he'd love to appear on the show.
He already said he was done.
No. He said he was done as Professor X, but then he said he would love to actually come back with the role for Legion, which would make so much sense considering that's, the dad. And apparently, I don't know if it's the writer or the actor involved has, put out an invitation to actually get him on the show. So I don't know when it'll happen, but it looks like it's a strong possibility.
And it's not like he doesn't have any experience working television.
Exactly.
He worked a little bit of American television before.
He did a couple years here and there. A certain Trekkie show, maybe. Also in the renewing news is we already knew 12 Monkeys was getting a third season. apparently the fourth season is going to be its last. It has an end game. It has an end point. It knows where it's going.
Sometimes that's the best thing to do. It may not go for long, but if they say, okay, we're going to have four seasons, that's it, then you can actually write a good story arc and know where you're going to go.
That's right. I just like Orphan Black, the upcoming season is its final season.
Yeah.
So, you know, especially when you've got these mysterious science-y fantasy shows, you really want to have that end game when they're on some kind of quest.
It's like Supernatural. Was like that. Well, no, Supernatural was planned for five seasons.
Five, yes.
And you notice the whole yellow-eyed demon ended at the end of season five, and then they've gotten renewed for, like, what, six or seven more seasons already?
They're 12 or 13 now?
They're either 11 or 12 now, and they've been renewed for the next season already.
You're right.
14 may be the last one.
Now, interestingly, for 12 Monkeys, though, the third season is debuting on May 19th, and they are doing something that doesn't get done at all on television. Now, we all know that Netflix shows get dropped at one time and you can binge the whole thing.
Yeah.
12 Monkeys on Sci-Fi is going to debut on May 19th at 8 p.m. And over the course of that weekend, the entire 10-episode season is going to play.
On TV?
Yes.
Yeah.
See,
on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights.
The Freeform did that with the one show, what was it, Beyond or something like that, that came out in January. They actually, but they played it over the weekly on TV. But on the Freeform app and on Hulu, they dropped the entire season.
No, this is all on TV. The first four episodes will premiere on the Friday, and then three episodes Saturday and three episodes Sunday.
Nice.
So, if you're the binging type, like, you know, some of us may be.
Well, I've not had Sci-Fi for a couple of years, but I know for a long time, Sci-Fi had actually built their programming around this. All-day marathons of a show.
Yeah.
And it was obviously old shows, because they weren't making their own yet.
Right,
movies.
Right.
But when they started up, you'd see, like, you'd start at, like, 9 a.m. until, like, 4 in the afternoon was... And it was all the old shows that made, like, one season. It was, like, Automan and... What else do they have on there? They did Automan. They did all of the 80s ones that lasted one season, and that was it.
Yeah.
They had the rights to all of them.
Well, and it's like a lot of the cable channels do now, where if a new season's starting, over the course of... Depending how many seasons they've already had, but over the course of that weekend or the week previous, they show all the rest of the seasons leading up to it.
And BBC America is not notorious, but they do this... What is it? The full 3 weeks heading up to Christmas, they'll play every Doctor Who episode they've made.
That's
since Yes, Eccleston. They will.
That's true. It's a great way to catch up.
That's right.
Just a couple other things that James Gunn confirmed that there will definitely be a Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Okay.
Not yet confirmed that he's going to be the one working on it, though, because he doesn't know if he wants to spend another couple years of his life doing yet another Guardians movie or move on to other things. And then another interesting thing was that instead of coming to theaters in October of 2018... Aquaman is now going to hit theaters December 21st, 2018. It's been pushed back. Interestingly, that is the exact same date Sony is releasing the animated Spider-Man feature with Marvel Miles Morales.
Oh, cool.
So it's interesting that they chose the direct competition date for it.
The one other thing that DC has done is the Flash is off the schedule at the moment. Mm-hmm. They have a couple of unnamed movies, but the Flash was supposed to be out February or March of 2018.
Yeah.
And they haven't even gone in front of cameras yet. Because they've had so many problems with directors and with, I think, from looking at it from behind, from the reporting side of it, it looks like the problem they're having is they're writers they're having problems with and directors. And I think what it is it's Warner Brothers being Warner Brothers and heavy handed and saying, this is what we think this should be.
Mm-hmm.
And Flash can't be their dark and gritty a Batman movie. It can't be the Flash is the bright shining light of the DC universe.
Right.
He is all hope that there is.
Right.
So you have to have that in this movie, and I don't think Warner Brothers executives not ready got that in their head.
No.
So I'm hoping, looking at Wonder Woman that's coming up, looks awesome. Mm-hmm. The new trailer looked great, and it's funny because the critics that have seen the actual movie so far, some of them are a little off on it, but like comic fans that have seen this movie, the trailer, the early cuts of the trailer, are loving it. So you get really mixed reviews depending on where the people come
from. Well, from what I've heard, the early viewers have said the things that are wrong with it are the same things that were wrong with Batman Loves Superman. So yeah, it's not surprising because it's the Warner Brothers problems.
Yeah, it's probably editing problems.
Yeah.
But Justice League looks like it's going to actually... They've already said it's going to be a lot lighter tone than what they had with Batman v Superman and Man of Steel. So hopefully if those two actually do better and actually have the lighter tone... They'll allow things like The Flash and some of these other movies to be a lighter tone.
Right.
Right.
They have to realize that the characters are actually different.
Yes. And you can't do every superhero movie the same.
Yeah, not every character type is a Batman.
Yes.
So you have to treat it differently.
So, actually, I had a quick question before you get into the bigger news stories.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Time After Time? I know Kylan
had it. Unfortunately, yes.
You don't like it?
The first episode was okay. It's kind of boring. And it's kind of unrealistic with bringing these two guys from way back when to the present day. And they're, for the most part, used to everything around them. Like, they have these little questioning bits of, oh my gosh, what's that? But then they get used to it really quick. Well, it's unrealistic in that
way. Yeah, it's weird that it's basically Jack the Ripper drops right in and says, oh, I'm going to love this place. And H.G. Wells is the one that's like, okay, and he's confused here and there.
H.G. Wells is the one who came up with all these futuristic things, and yet he's confused by everything.
Well, the cool thing with it is the fact that they've taken him from before he wrote all those books.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're screwing with him now that they've told him he wrote all these books.
Exactly. But that's just a time travel show thing. Is you always are going to let someone in on something that they should...
They're messing with him on it, though. Come on. He can't know this.
But that's how I got the idea to write him in the first place.
I think I have a problem. The show's kind of boring in general. It's not really... The characters don't have much depth to them, and it's just... Well, it's not great.
Well, hopefully, as the season goes along, it'll get better. But
I don't know if I'll last.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing was, I almost thought this would be more procedural time travel show.
Yeah.
And it isn't.
No.
I
don't know. I mean, where would you actually put this in when it comes to categories of shows? It's not even really a time travel show much. It's the Man Out of Time type.
Well, they're getting more into time travel in future episodes, though, based on the previews.
Okay.
They do actually do more traveling.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that now that they've set up the time machine to come back to the one spot,
they can actually
forced to. Mm-hmm. But, of course, that just means that Jack is just going to keep sneaking into the same place to steal the time machine to go back somewhere. They're going to have to go find him. He's going to sneak in all over again.
Yeah. Well, the episodes I've seen, luckily, right now, haven't dropped into an actual formula that every show is the same formula.
Right.
Which they have danger of actually getting if they do start doing the time travel.
They've kind of already fallen into the formula of, look, he's going to kidnap someone. Look, he's probably going to kill her. Look, we have to find him.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's going to be everything. The whole thing is to make him stop murdering people.
Yeah.
Is to catch him.
But then, you know, this woman...
But then there's that other guy involved.
Right. And there's a woman who captured him that he was trying to capture.
That was the one thing at the end of that other episode.
See, that's where I think we're going to get interesting, because we've got at least one, if not two, other groups that now... know about H.G. Wells and Jack the Ripper, they knew about it beforehand.
That's the one part that makes it a little interesting for me, is that these other groups somehow knew that they were going to be arriving.
So I'm wondering, because we know his granddaughter, who H.G. Wells is working with, actually knew he was coming.
Right.
But that, you could tell that he had told her.
From the future.
Are these other groups maybe from the from H.G. Wells' future back in the 1800s that he set this up back then?
Right.
So they would be ready when he did come back.
Well, no, right. I think the guy, the redhead, I think his mom was one of his friends. She was there when they disappeared.
She was old.
She was old,
She was there when they disappeared.
That's a possibility.
So, there's some... It took them a while to actually set this stuff up.
Yeah.
But it looks like there's some interesting things that are going to possibly come up.
And because it's the show, instead of just remaking the movies, then it'll have more depth to it, hopefully, at some point. And they've got to go somewhere with it if they want a whole season of it.
And some of the things that you're talking about for Lake, I think some of that is also ABC.
Right. Yeah, it is.
Because most of the shows are like that. Well, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, all their shows, like we talked about it when Supergirl was on there and with some of the other ones, that they have a formula and the executives say this is the way it should be. Mm-hmm. They try to find a box for their show.
That's just it. The thing is, a lot of audiences like it. Like, look at how many NCISs there are and Law and Orders there were and all of the audiences obviously like the formulas, so they're going to throw them in there, and now they've just got a different premise to add to their formulas. Mm-hmm. That's what it comes to.
And a lot of them, like the NCISs and stuff, I've noticed, because I've never actually sat down and watched a lot of it, but like when I'm over at my father-in-law's house or somewhere else, they'll be watching it. It's like, you can sit in, it's like, you don't have to see anything else but the episode you're seeing.
Right.
It really doesn't tie into anything else, where most of us geeks like a long-term storyline.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where you get, when your CW's superhero shows, and a lot of the other ones we watch, have a whole season arc, and there's a story that goes into the whole thing.
Right.
Now, you're not lost if you catch just one episode.
Right.
But you like to see those ties that go to the next one and the next one and the next one.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and the CIS ones are like brand new, like new versions of the ones from like the 60s and 70s, the criminal shows.
Yeah, the networks figured out a long time ago how to do a cop show.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still doing that same cop show
right.
with new tech.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's really, yeah, that's racist.
Which, you can't say there's anything really wrong with that because for 40, 50 years, it's worked.
Mm-hmm.
And it still works.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you go back further and it was Cowboys and Indians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm waiting to see what the next Western is. Not like Westworld, because mm-hmm. that's a totally different animal. Right.
Yeah,
HBO.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But when are some, they going to start bringing back the Westerns?
When they bring that's true. I mean, back.
Well, I mean, the, was in the late 80s, early 90s, you had that rash of Westerns.
Of the TV, or the movies.
But then that, but see, I think culture goes through cycles where it sets up for the Western to be accepted. I don't think we're quite there yet.
Well, you have issues with Westerns, though. That's one of the genres that's difficult to do without being completely racist in many ways.
Yeah.
So
it's hard to do a Western politically correct.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, you go through cycles of which country has the spies invading something
right.
at any given time for a movie.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Westerns. You can't, you know, Native Americans can't be the enemies.
Right.
I mean, that's just bad.
Even if for a while, even if that actually was true at that time, in some points.
I mean, you could do Westerns from their point of view. That would kind of
be awesome. But see, you can do a steampunk Western, and then you don't have that to worry about.
That's actually what I was hoping Time After Time would be, is a little bit more steampunk.
Yeah, because it's not at all.
No.
Yeah, because H.G. Wells...
His time machine looks a little bit, but that's
H.G. Wells and Jules Verne, basically the two of them, were the fathers of modern steampunk, weren't they?
Right, yeah.
Well, they were the great-grandfathers. That's
great-grandfathers.
That's what inspired a lot of stuff.
What show is it? The Secret Adventures of Jules Verne.
Yeah, that's a steampunk show.
That was a great steampunk show.
That didn't last
show.
At
I
all,
enjoyed
but it was good.
Yeah.
You know, I think we could have something like that. Somebody just has to be done right.
Yeah. Well, it was done right a couple times. Sci-fi has done it right once or twice.
Right.
Warehouse 13. All of their tech was steampunk tech.
Right.
True.
So that did well. It went, four or five seasons. Mm-hmm. And I think they chose to stop it. It wasn't that they weren't getting ratings.
Yeah.
No.
There's a couple other ones that have been like that.
And interestingly, I did see people tweeting during Time After Time about how they much preferred the H.G. Wells from Warehouse 13. So,
hey,
you know, comparisons.
I like the way H.G. Wells in, or wait, not H.G., but from The Flash. Harrison Wells. H.R. Wells.
H.R.
See, think about it. He's close.
Oh, that's been since the first season people have seen that.
Yeah.
That comparison between Harrison Wells and H.G. Wells. So, but you said you had a couple other quick news stories before.
Yes.
Actually, let me throw right here, Geeksters, this is your spoiler warning. When we get done with news, we're talking Iron Fist.
All of it.
All of Iron Fist, from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
All of the really huge, over-the-top action in the... Oh, wait. We'll get into that in a minute, but this is your spoiler warning. If you've not heard it all the way, listen to the end of the news and then hit pause. Go watch Iron Fist. Vicky and I saw it all... Friday and Saturday. We were done by Saturday night.
We were done Saturday night, too.
So, go binge Iron Fist on Netflix, and then come back and listen to
this. Well, you know, it's... By the time this posts, it's Wednesday. You've had a few days. You can do a couple episodes a night. You better be done by now. That's all we're saying.
So,
and don't listen to the...
the critics.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
We'll never listen to
the critics, but yeah.
So, Ms. Lawn, you had a couple other news
stories. I have one bit of sad news that happened overnight. Legendary artist Bernie Wrightson passed away. He was suffering from brain cancer. He was 68 years old. It may not be a very familiar name to some people, especially if you're not big into comics, but he was the co-creator of DC's Swamp Thing.
Oh, wow.
And,
was it him and Alan Moore?
Alan Moore wrote
Alan
the later
Moore wrote,
versions.
Yeah, in the 80s.
Wrote the later versions.
No, Swamp Thing was way back in the 60s.
Swamp Thing was way back in the 60s. He actually has also, he worked on, comic adaptations of Lovecraft and Poe. He was really known as a horror artist, and he has some fairly iconic look to his work. So if you look him up, you'll probably recognize a lot of it. He worked on Stephen King adaptations. He did some, the Creepshow comic.
Well, Swamp Thing originally, I think, was a horror comic.
It was, yeah, absolutely.
That's why the movies, I mean, they were straight B movies from the 80s, but they were B horror movies.
Yeah, they were basically
they were monster movies.
Kind of based on the whole Creature from the Black Lagoon sort of thing. But he
I still
also,
like those movies.
Even though he was known for horror, he actually did work on superheroes a time or two, including Batman and the early Captain Marvel. He did covers for Aquaman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Incredible Hulk. So he did. He's done a lot of work. So, okay. So yeah, he just that was just announced like on his page over the weekend that he had passed away. So I just wanted to mention that.
Okay.
The other things were a couple of bits that people may have missed. Interestingly, New York Comic Con announced that for its convention this year, it's only selling single day passes.
Okay.
Which, it's not just the fact that this is odd, it's the fact that this is such a huge convention that makes it really odd.
They're really, most people rate them as what, the number two comic convention in the country?
Yeah, basically, you go San Diego and then you go New York,
yeah,
is mm-hmm. basically how it comes.
Unless they're doing the same program every day.
Well, no, they're not, that's the thing. It's still their standard programming, but they're only doing single day. Their reasoning... is that because there's some ongoing construction where they usually have it, they're working with space limitations, and they want to make sure as many people as possible have the opportunity to buy tickets because they always sell out of the multi-day and then people can't get them because they only have a limited single day.
Yeah.
They're claiming single day tickets give more fans the chance to buy a ticket for at least a day. That's all fine and good.
No. This gives them more a chance to get more money.
Exactly.
How much is a one-day pass?
I mean, I don't know how much a one-day is for them. I know that, you know, if you even just look at Wizard World Cleveland from this
like
past weekend,
50 per day.
Saturday was $45 for one day.
Yeah.
If you got 3 days, it was only $75. So, you know, they lose money off the multi-day passes, really.
Which means, right. That means you guys should go to Con of the Cob, because even at the door, a three-day pass for Con of the Cob is only $45.
That's right. That's right. So it's interesting because it's really going to screw over people who want to travel to New York to get these tickets. And the New York Comic Con is known for being really bad with getting its programming out early.
Okay.
So you've got people who are going to want to buy tickets in advance to make sure they get them.
Right.
And then you're going to go on a day and find out maybe the panel you would have been interested in isn't on that day.
Yeah.
Or the person that you really wanted to see is only scheduled for Saturday and you got a Sunday ticket.
Well,
or, you know, it kind of screws people over.
Well, a lot of times these big conventions, like for your autographs, the big conventions like this, a lot of people go for autographs.
Right.
Right.
And a lot of the celebrities aren't there all 4 days or
exactly.
all 3 days. So, and those, a lot of times, like for Celebration, they've still not announced everything that's going on for it.
Right.
And it's only 3 or 4 weeks out now.
Right.
So the bigger the convention is, seems like the less time before the beginning of it that they actually release their programming tracks
mm-hmm.
and their who's going to be there.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're going to have to see what this does.
Yeah, it's interesting. And hopefully it won't affect other conventions, because honestly, people don't want that.
Like, yeah. Well, what it is hopefully it doesn't show that they make a whole bunch of money doing this way.
Right.
Because that's what's going to cause other ones to do this.
Well, the thing is... Even if they make a whole bunch of money, if they get enough complaints, they're not going to do it again. Because people aren't going to show up. They're just going to be like, well, screw you. If I can't get my ticket... And think about it. The Saturday tickets are going to sell out first.
Yeah.
Because Saturday is the day that you're guaranteed to get the most bang for your buck at any of these conventions.
Right.
Because, most of your media panels and stuff like that are
exactly.
all going to be on Saturday.
And celebrities will most likely show up on a Saturday, that kind of thing. So... They're going to sell out a Saturday, so it kind of goes against their whole argument.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Well, also,
going to sell out
Friday,
like that.
They're only a 3-day show, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, Friday's your show-up day.
Yeah.
And Sunday is the going-home day.
Right.
So, you have a lot less people on both those days anyway.
Exactly. You usually only have a half day on Friday.
Yeah.
And then Sunday maybe goes till 4 o'clock or something. So, so it will be interesting to see. I just thought it was an interesting... bit of news that they released about that.
It sounds like you think a place like New York City would have a big enough convention hall somewhere that they wouldn't have to worry about this.
Well, the thing is, though, they usually plan these conventions long enough ahead of time that they've booked them for years out.
Yeah, so they didn't know that they may not have known this was coming.
Exactly. And, like, Dragon Con had this problem, was it last year or the year before, where one of the hotels basically decided to renovate the entire lobby and downstairs area
during the show.
And it was, that was part of it was like a 3-4 month long renovation. And so they cut out, like, about half of the available space.
Yeah.
See,
that's when I sit there and look. It's like, from the business side of this, it's like, they know when Dragon Con's going to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you end up, and they know they're going to lose money, basically, by doing this, because they lost half the space they'd be running out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, well, you know, hotels tend to screw people over one way or another.
Yeah.
they'll still get you. The only other thing I had was they announced the 2016 Bram Stoker Awards final ballot.
Okay.
The awards themselves are going to be announced end of April, and they'll actually be streaming on StrokerCon2017.org. And most of these...
Did you say StrokerCon or StokerCon?
StokerCon.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, what is...
I'm like, what?
Well, that's a different convention you that's might enjoy.
StrokerCon is in Vegas at some point, and we're not going to get into that one.
Or, you know, a certain valley in California. Most of these things, unless you're really into horror, you probably don't even recognize most of the people... nominated because, you know, they're like first novel, new novels, it's everything over the past year.
Mm-hmm.
They had young adult, long fiction, short fiction, anthology, even nonfiction ones, which is kind of cool, and a poetry category.
Ooh, but horror poetry.
Well, if it's Edgar Allan Poe, is horror poetry, if you know. Anyways, the two categories that we would be most interested in are achievement in a graphic novel and achievement in a screenplay. Graphic novel actually has some recognizable names, including Alan Moore for Providence, Act 1, which was a new one that came out from him. Robert Kirkman for the latest volume of Outcast. It has Cullen Bunn for Blood Feud from Oni Press, and Cullen Bunn has done a lot of stuff, including Deadpool Mercs for Money. If it's Deadpool-related, I have to mention that. So, you know, there's recognizable names there from Image Comics and Dark Horse and that kind of thing. And the screenplay category is interesting because it mixes TV and movies.
Well, they both use screenplays.
Well, exactly.
It's just the size of it.
Well, usually, though, you get, like, a television screenplay and a movie screenplay categories. But considering this is, like, Bram Stoker Awards are a literary award in general, so they're looking for very high-quality writing.
Yeah.
So, interestingly, like, one of the movies nominated was The Witch, which was a really good movie, by the way.
We didn't see that, but I don't like scary movies as much. Some of them are okay. Some of them...
It's great because it's a creepy scary movie.
It's creepy.
For me, awesome.
For me, horror movies, it has to be something like the late 90s, early 2000s, House on Haunted Hill, with the ghost jumping out of the walls.
Okay.
I like that kind
you
of
like
jump
scare. You like the
jump
scare kind
of
stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
or
no
it's
got to
be super campy, super silly. The stuff like the Scream movies.
Right.
Or like Funhouse Massacre that I was in.
Yeah. Right.
That type of one where it's just a fun movie to watch.
Right.
But the ones like the newer genre that in the last 10 years has been the, like, they call it torture porn or almost.
Yeah,
like
I'm not.
Hostile and
I'm not into the over gory stuff because that doesn't scare me. That's just like, what the hell are you doing?
And the slasher horror, if it's not campy and silly a little bit, I'm not going to get into it. Like, the Halloween movies, I was never really...
See, I like the creepy horror. The creepy horror gets me if there's a lot of build-up and stuff. And The Witch had that.
Yeah,
it was
a good
really
story.
Good.
Well, a good story, like something like that, I might be
get
into.
Yeah.
And the other movie screenplay that was nominated was 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Ah.
Which is interesting.
That one was really... That's on Netflix now.
Yeah.
Have
so
you guys
you
seen that yet?
Mm-mm. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
no.
you check that out. I still have to go back and see Cloverfield to see if there's anything that links it other than the fact that they're... what happened at the end of Cloverfield Lane, which you've or read all the spoilers,
I know
you know
about
what
it.
Happened. Yeah. Kylan may not, but...
No, because
And the shows that were nominated was one episode of Penny Dreadful.
That is on Netflix, too. I gotta watch that. Everybody keeps telling me I have to watch it.
Okay, I didn't really... I got bored with
it. I've heard it, from what it sounds like, the premise of it seems like it's a horror version of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Kind of, yeah. It's very gothic. It's very slow-moving.
Yeah. Which is, it's gothic.
Yeah, because it's gothic. But I just didn't... I don't like the way they represented the characters. But that's just me. And the other one was two separate episodes of Stranger Things.
Ooh.
One of them was the very first episode, The Vanishing of Will Byers.
Okay.
And the other was Chapter 8, The Upside Down, where they finally get into that. So we know the episodes. They were good. So it's interesting that two episodes got nominated there. So we'll see by the end of April who actually wins, and I'll come back and let you guys know who it was.
Okay.
That is all my news.
Awesome. Well,
I feel like I need one of those ticker tapes leading me in and leading me out.
Maybe I'll have to work on some sound. Yeah, I'm not going to work on some sound bites. I should. Actually, no, I do have a sound bite that I may put it in there. Because I have the, from RoboCop, the news break.
See, there you go. I can have my little news segment.
Okay, so... But here's your secondary spoiler warning. Yeah, hit pause on here. Don't get rid of this. Don't stop listening. Hit pause. Go watch Iron Fist and come back.
Well, that's going to be a long pause.
So?
They can press stop and play again and find their spot. Just note where you left off.
That's right. So, Iron Fist. Now, Kylan, I know you've been waiting for years for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because out of all these shows, Iron Fist was your favorite out of all these characters, isn't it?
No, that Luke was Cage.
No, Luke Cage. Luke Cage. If you're a fan of Luke Cage, you're going to be a fan of Iron Fist, usually, because for years and years and years, they've been buddies.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, so I've been waiting, and this the past St. Paddy's Day was special for me because I didn't care about Green Beer. I didn't care about Shamrocks. I cared about
fists.
A little Irish kid, because I think Rand's an Irish name. A little Irish kid who got stuck in the mountains and came back to New York.
That's right. Well,
that's what I was excited about.
And why would you get excited for green beer anyway? Vicky, I don't drink, but Vicky said usually the green beer is the cheapest stuff on tap anyway.
Those
are Budweiser or Miller or something like that.
PBR.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dollar beers, yay!
So Miss Allen, what was your initial impression of this?
I liked it.
Okay.
The critics can suck it.
We'll get into that in a minute too.
Yeah, well, not surprisingly, I mean, Marvel doesn't do things badly, and regardless of what the critics say about this, you know, does Marvel have a flop? They were just looking for something.
Yeah.
So we will get into that, but I liked it. I liked the pace of it. I liked that it's a totally different type of story from the other three characters we've already seen, and it needed the pace that it got and the style of storytelling, and it was a good long story. It was the full season of one story, and I liked it.
Cool. And Vicky, what'd you think?
I did. I really liked it.
Yeah?
I agree. I don't know what the critics were watching. Obviously, they weren't watching the show.
Well, I could see, like you said, you even said that, reading the critics, you could see what they were talking about was there.
Yeah.
But they didn't get the idea that this was a different story. Mm-hmm. This was, now, Iron Fist is not as action-packed as some of the other ones have been.
There
was wall-to-wall action.
The critics saw the first six episodes.
That's it?
That's all they saw.
Oh, okay.
That's all they saw. The preview was the first six episodes. And if you look at those first six, there's a little bit of action, a little fighting, but not much because it's a lot of buildup. And if I was thinking about this, like the six episodes out of 13, that's not even 50%. And if you look at even your average hour-long drama, by halfway through, you don't get anything.
Yeah, you don't get
anything. It's all buildup.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that got me was, even yesterday, I was looking through some blogs and that, there was no updates from critics on after they saw the full thing. They're not bothering. They saw the six, there's their opinion.
Well, that's, I have a feeling sometimes the ones that are official critics watch what's sent to them, but they don't watch actual TV or they don't go out and watch movies unless they're given tickets to go do it.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're not, unless they were sent all 13 episodes, they're not going to watch it.
Exactly.
So, but I did see your tweet. What do you got?
I was going to say also, if you look at all of them as a whole, to me, his would be, I would consider his like the spiritual of the four.
Yeah, he is.
Which is what we were predicting anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
But, and this was I had noticed, this was the first time, if you watch this from beginning to end, out of all of the shows, this is the first one that has one cohesive story all the way through 13 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some other things that happen in there, but they all push that story. And the main story, or there's two major stories in this.
Right.
The one is Danny Rand coming face-to-face with a hand.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they tie it directly into the second story of Danny Rand stepping back into his life in New York City.
Right.
And so it's like, you basically, it's two separate stories that work totally together from beginning to end.
Right.
Yeah.
We mentioned this, especially, you noticed it big on Luke Cage, that there was two totally separate stories. Mm-hmm. And about the midpoint, you had two episodes where it started to cross over the stories a little bit, then you start off on that second story arc.
Yes.
So that one could have been two seasons at six episodes each.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This one, you really couldn't have done that.
No.
It was similar to Jessica Jones in that sense.
Yeah.
Because Jessica Jones had a couple of storylines, but a more consistent arc because you had the Purple Man all the way through.
Right.
Yeah.
Until the end. So you had him, you know, disappear for a bit and that kind of thing, but you did have a more consistent story arc. But the pacing of this show in general is similar to Daredevil season one, where you don't jump into the action right away.
Yeah.
Right.
And you have to establish what's going on, why he's there. And this one takes longer because it didn't start in New York. He wasn't like, okay, it started in New York. Technically speaking, he was walking down the street, but it didn't start in New York in the sense of he was already established and had a home there and he was part of the life.
Well, it didn't start in New York with the, this one didn't feel as much like a street level one.
He's right. not.
I this mean, is a corporate level show.
Yes.
Right.
Because most of the action that drives him in this is either dealing with the Hand, which is a giant overarching. I mean, you thought Wilson Fisk had a big organization, Hell's Kitchen. The Hand is a global organization.
Yeah. Right.
And then anything else that he's not dealing with the Hand, it's all on corporate level at 45 floors up in the air.
Right.
And quite honestly, anyone who, you don't even have to be into comics, if you're into the corporate espionage sort of show yeah. or storyline, this is a great show for you.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there was so much dirty going on
yeah.
with the Rand Corporation and yeah. the Meachums, and oh my God, you just wanted to smack people.
Well, now, Vicky actually had a question, because we're talking about, we talked about the Hand being a global, and I may have already asked this question and forgot all about it,
mm-hmm.
but when was the Hand introduced in the comic books?
The Hand actually...
How far back?
The Hand was actually first introduced in Daredevil of Frank Miller, it had to be like
was it
81,
Miller?
82.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what's the chances that Eastman and his partner with the Ninja Turtles saw that and actually put their version of it
that
with
was
the foot.
The foot
that
was
that
it
was
is
it.
It is almost the exact same organization you know, that, the foot, in Turtles that it is in here.
That's what they hit,
that, that's
his
what
whole
he was.
Point was doing a satire
yeah,
on
yeah,
the
foot
hand.
Was a mix fun
yeah.
front of the Hand.
Vicky pointed that out because it's like half the time they're talking about the Hand and it's like everything they're doing is exactly what you expect the foot to do in the Ninja Turtles.
Well, in a way, it's funny. In one of the later episodes, Claire actually says, well, couldn't you come up with a different name for your part of the organization? You know, the ear, the arm. Like, yeah. She actually says that yeah. at one yeah. point. So, there you go. It's the foot.
Yeah, yeah. The foot was, because, see, back in the early 80s, ninjas were everywhere.
Yeah.
And so when Eastman...
Ninjas.
Yeah, exactly.
So when they came up with the Ninja Turtles, they were kind of making fun of the Hand and... With the Foot Clan, because like at that point the Hand was showing up everywhere. The
yeah.
Hand showed up in Punisher. The Hand showed up in Daredevil. The Hand showed up in Spider-Man. Like,
well, virtually every Marvel comic, every
yeah.
street level hero had to do something with the yeah. Hand at one point.
Right.
So and that's what they're doing with the anime or with these Netflix shows also, because
right.
you
right.
can see the setup on this and with what they said with the rest of them, the Hand is going to be the villain once again once we get the Defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
It was, the thing was, they made some changes. They made some changes with the show. And it was okay because unless you were deeply into the history of Luke Cage and Iron Fist and all that, basically the changes they made adds to the cohesiveness of this world that they created on Netflix.
Okay.
And so... The Hand, this version of the Hand actually is a little bit different from what you see in the comics, but at the same time, it makes it a bit more, I don't know how to exactly put it, but I'll just say like what they did with Danny and the whole thing with Danny being raised to fight the Hand.
Was that actually in the comics?
That's not in the comics.
Oh, okay.
That's not in the comics. The thing that was in the comics was you had the Chaste, that's where Stick, the organization that Stick was with, the Chaste was raised to stand against the Hand.
Okay.
I don't mean to rhyme.
There was a whole organization as opposed to just one person.
Yeah. Well, the right. thing with this, though, is that it actually helps drive the story in a short form.
Right, but see,
now
I'm wondering
what...
a
multiple-season story... You
right.
do something like there's one organization against a full another organization.
But see, now I'm wondering where the Chaste is going in this because
if they use it,
though the Chaste is in Daredevil.
Yeah, okay.
Did they mention the Chaste?
Yeah,
is
in Daredevil,
yeah,
they
yeah.
That's who
Stick, who is Matt.
Because there's even a scene where Stick is meeting with someone else who's in the shadows, and you don't see who it is when
right.
they're in a dojo.
Right.
And that's yeah.
Well, that could come in the way they've done the Hand here. I don't know if it's this big in Marvel, but in this one they put it. This is a global crime organization.
It is that big.
This makes
they're
the,
not as...
the Italian families look like a little.
Well, because you have to consider, you've got Madame Gao's whole thing.
Right.
And she's directly involved with the Hand, and she was involved, she was in Kunlun even.
Right.
So that's
yeah.
a global basis right there.
Yeah.
But Iron Fist lets you know that there's other aspects to the Hand, though. That's,
right.
That's the interesting
part.
There's
other part, branches of it.
Because I was asking Kylan about this while we were watching, because I've read some of the comics, but not actually Iron Fist comics. And Colleen is not part of the Hand.
No, that's what I was going to add. That's the next place I was going.
That was another change.
Because that's what I was... Because I've read stuff with Colleen Wing, and I'm like, but she's not... Wait,
no.
Also, is there a romantic thing between Danny and Colleen in the comics?
Danny and Misty.
Is with Misty.
Okay.
In the comics. So they haven't even met yet.
They haven't even met yet. Colleen learns... gets her martial arts training from her grandfather.
Yeah.
She did talk
series.
About that.
She did talk about that.
But then when her family she became orphaned, essentially.
Right.
She ended up in the Hand compound, which does look like a big cult thing.
Right. But see, her grandfather is still alive up until later in the comics. Okay. So you meet, when you first meet Danny, when Danny first meets Colleen, because Colleen and Misty know each other at that point. Colleen's grandfather is working with them.
Okay.
And so they make quite a few changes, sort of like what they did in Luke Cage. They make quite a few changes to the characters and their backgrounds, but it doesn't hurt the story. It adds to the cohesiveness. And I'm fine with it. You know, I'm not that much...
The thing is, a lot of the changes they've made in every one of the stories is to help unite all four of them together and get to the Defenders.
And they do a great job of... They almost seamlessly bring them together in this series, if you think about it. There wasn't an awkward reach to incorporate each of the
Defenders.
Because
you had... You already knew Hogarth was... legal counsel with Rand.
Right.
So that was going to connect right away anyway. And then you have, they mentioned an investigator, so you know that's Jessica Jones.
Yeah, that Hogarth had used.
Yeah, and you,
and the
you
other
saw,
one, Claire
you saw
with.
Claire reading a letter, obviously from Luke in prison.
Mm-hmm. I didn't remember Luke Cage being in prison at the end.
He turned himself in at the end.
And, they're on the plane, and she says he's unavailable right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although, that was something else that was changed because... Luke, in the comics, Luke ends up finding the evidence to clear his name.
Right.
And
the thing is, on the show, there are certain things that he just couldn't, he obviously
did. Oh, but they
did
find
things.
It at the very end.
Yeah.
So I'm, if you look at the timeline...
Well, we happen to know a lawyer that's going to be involved in the Defenders.
So if you look...
Exactly.
If you're
a private investigator that could help with all this.
Exactly.
If you're looking at the timeline, I'm thinking this happens almost right as Luke Cage ends.
It's possible.
It does, because Colleen is putting up posters for her dojo that are the posters that were in Luke Cage.
Yeah, Luke Cage, they had seen the posters.
And she had only just started her dojo.
Yeah.
So there's an overlap.
Yeah.
Just slightly.
Yeah. Because Luke is not in jail long.
And
they
don't mention anything about Harlem, but they do mention the incident over and over again.
Yeah, well, they've done that through the whole thing.
Yeah,
but
in terms of what happens in the city, everything that happened in Harlem with things exploding and crap, they would have mentioned.
Right.
But the incident, everybody knows, goes back to the original Avengers.
Right.
Right.
That's, and the way the MCU and the Marvel Television Universe has put this, that people realize superheroes exist because of what happened in the first Avengers movie.
Right.
Everything that happened before that, people didn't know everything that was going on.
No.
Wasn't that also in Luke Cage, wasn't Claire learning how to fight?
She was, she had decided to start learning.
Yeah.
And she was going to go to Colleen's.
And it looks like it's been a couple of months now since she's been doing it.
Right.
So. This one is the first one that's real easy to figure out exactly where it is in the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good, because that's going to leads us to Defenders.
Right.
Right.
So, and that's one thing, the final episode of this, I was wondering if there was any point, this is another one that, I was actually kind of disappointed that there wasn't any of the other characters that crossed into this at all.
I didn't expect to see the characters themselves show up. By the same token, I did not get the series I expected to get either.
Yeah.
But that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing at all.
We got a lot more exposition in this one, of actually explaining what's going on.
Yeah.
The other ones, it seemed like a lot of them, the action drove the show.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, the action was a result of the show.
You're guaranteed to get action with the Iron Fist. Now,
yeah.
I think that's the reason why they did that, because there's a reason, there's a story behind the action.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what we, and that's what you got with this one. Especially, you know, the his obvious issues, his lack of being able to make peace with his past.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole thing about seeking almost an imaginary family with the Meachums.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That was something that was... That was an aspect to Danny's character that was definitely added. Makes sense.
The one thing is, though, I think they did that in part to make sure that you knew how naive a character he was.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because of coming from Kun Lun and being out of the world for 15 years or whatever it was, but the fact that he left this world when he was 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
he has no family, and he's desperate to kind of grab on to any family he can get, and mm-hmm. he's naive in the sense that he wants to believe that they're looking out for his best interests.
Yeah.
Well, and you gotta think, all their life, their fathers were best friends.
Yeah.
Right.
So he is like an uncle to him.
Exactly. And it points out how young Danny is, though. Right. Like he's going to be the youngest of all the defenders. He's in his 20s.
Right. Yeah.
So I think they make sure that you know that he's young and he may fall for things
mm-hmm.
because of that.
Yeah. I think part of the one thing that was really cool is this: is Vicky was talking about how this is the more spiritual of all the shows mm-hmm. we've got.
It is.
But the nice thing is also everybody knew this was going to be a martial arts show,
mm-hmm.
and they actually. You could tell they pointed out specific styles of martial arts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You did. I mean, some of the Street Fighters and stuff you got would be American MMA now.
MMA. Right. Yeah.
Guys are just general fight.
Right. But that cage fighting with Colleen, my God.
But Danny Rand is straight Kung Fu.
Yeah.
And all this, and the Kung Fu is a very spiritual art form from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. It's very fluid, a lot of moving the energies and things like that.
There's different styles. There's like your internal kung fu. There's external kung fu, northern and southern
but
styles.
With Danny, but though, general, you have his talk about the chi.
Right.
And that lets you know how he gets the iron fist.
Yeah.
So it's important that he talks about chi and energy flows and the movement in that way.
Right.
And then you get to Colleen.
Right.
Which is straight karate and following the Bushido code, basically the modern samurai
right.
version. And everything she does, the whole thing is... You can see it's very similar to Danny,
right.
because martial arts, Eastern martial arts, a lot of them have a very similar movements in how they do things
right.
from
right.
a totally different point of view.
Just the specifics.
Right. Exactly. Right. That's why, and you see the major difference between them. Mm-hmm. And then you get drunken boxing later.
Yes.
that guy was great.
The one cool thing with Colleen, though, was when Danny took her blade and started moving, and she's like, no, let me show you how it's done.
Yeah.
Right. Like, this is how you use the Japanese blade, form.
He was using a Chinese form with...
The Japanese blade.
With the Japanese blade.
And that just wasn't right.
Yeah, she wasn't going to let that happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, the drunkest... As soon as dude was on the ground drunk, Kylan got all excited, and he was like, drunken style! It was like a whole minute and a half before it actually started, and he was excited. Was
when Madame Gao walks up, has him stand up to let her through, but doesn't say anything about him drinking.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
She has no problem with him drinking, because she knows what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you've seen any old-school kung fu movies, there's always drunken style in every one of them.
Me personally, if you want to see drunken boxing, and actually a study of drunken boxing, check out Legend of Drunken Master, the original one with Jackie
yes.
Chan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jackie Chan is hilarious anyway.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite martial artists to see.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't grow up a martial artist, he was a dancer.
Right.
Right.
But he's learned it since then. But, and actually what surprised me, he could barely read and write at all.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't go to a school where they taught that. He went to an art school.
No, he went to the opera company where they taught, they taught martial arts there too, though, because it was the Chinese opera company.
Yeah. Right.
So, boxing is always funny to watch.
And the character they had in this doing the drunken, he was the epitome of the drunken style because they're always supposed to be foolish and smartass and making jokes the entire time mm-hmm. and all of that.
And one hand is always, you're either holding a bottle or a glass. So this hand is, one hand is here and the other hand is like... Yeah, you don't ever want to. I've been hit with a drunken style strike. You don't ever get hit with one of those.
No.
No.
It looks all loose until you get hit with it.
It's...
And the thing is, if they're doing Drunken Style the way it's actually designed and actually they're at the right place, mm-hmm. you can hit them as much as you want. They ain't going to feel it.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not going to want to wake up when they're done, but...
right.
But then, what it is, you just wait and let them get too far past that, and then you just take them out.
Although there are people who can do the Drunken Style sober.
Yeah.
My old Kung Fu master knew some Drunken Style, and he could do it. He would be completely sober, and then he would all of a sudden go into this drunken pose and just start moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's something I've noticed with different forms of Kung Fu. I've mostly seen Kung Fu on TV.
Right.
But most of the time they show it is Kung Fu is very fluid. They're always moving a little bit.
Yeah.
Where the Japanese styles seem like they're rigid. Like you got your poses, you stop and you wait and you do this. Where Kung Fu, it's a lot more just fluid and moving.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's where you got the
spirit
in the back. Yeah. Basically. But
this show definitely points out the difference in the styles.
It did.
Yeah.
And they do a really good job.
And I mean, even all the episodes are named after various katas and styles within...
Tai Chi moves.
All the movements, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because Tai Chi's Korean, isn't it?
Nope. Chinese.
Oh, okay.
And that's what he was doing, like, in the park and stuff early on, was
okay,
was
that's why,
Tai Chi anyway.
See, what I thought about that is, if I remember it, Taekwondo is Korean.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it starts with the same word.
Right. There you go. Same word, we go with it.
So, but I don't know a whole lot about martial arts other than, like I said, what I've seen on TV and what... I took, like, a couple of weeks of Taekwondo at one point because my buddy was teaching it.
Well, and based on what we've heard from other people who know martial arts, they've enjoyed Iron Fist so far.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
In terms of how well they present the fighting and the styles mm-hmm. and that kind of thing.
Nice.
They do... It's one of those things, like... I think because Marvel wants to... authenticity is important to them, you know, from beginning to end, and they do a great job of just depicting this world of martial artists and who are able to fight with different styles and do it well. And you know, from the street fighters that you're getting in like the cage matches to the students, especially the ones that you see at the Institute,
mm-hmm. yes,
you know, all the way to
based on who the character is, the show had to be immersed in martial arts.
It did. Yes.
It's kind of like you know, Daredevil has a bit of the martial art ish,
right?
Background to his fighting,
yeah,
but it's not. It's a mix.
His fighting is more street level combat, whereas the martial arts that you see in Iron Fist is textbook martial arts, like, you know, it's the art that you're training in, you know, either in school or in the dojo, that is, you know, what you're, I guess, almost the purer form of martial arts, as opposed to this mix of what you're getting for street combat.
Yeah,
you know, so there's a difference there.
And the nice thing with this is you actually see them actually fighting against different forms, which, and if you go back, did you see the first four or five UFC tournaments?
Yes.
Originally? What those were originally.
They were.
Mm-hmm. You would have a karate guy versus a kung fu guy, mm-hmm. or a savate guy, which it's French kickboxing,
yep.
isn't it?
Yep. Yep.
Versus a sumo, and that was that was a great match. I have those on DVD.
Yes.
You got just a bar brawler.
Yeah, mm-hmm. or you have a bar brawler versus, mm-hmm. and you had a boxer with one boxing glove.
Yeah, now MMA is like, they try to mix them all together in one person.
MMA is its own style now.
Yeah.
But this actually showed what that tried to be at the beginning.
Right. Like, somewhere along the way, all MMA became this a mix of jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, and wrestling. And that's what everybody does. Although there are some people out there that will mix either... They'll mix another Japanese style in with theirs, so it's a little bit different. But ultimately, when people say MMA, it's... You know.
We could do a whole show about the history of MMA and the way it works on some of that. Some of it is just the boxing or the athletic commissions in the different states.
Right.
Not letting them have the... Because originally, UFC had three rules. That was it.
So some of them are legal issues. I mean, that's why for the longest time, it couldn't actually have live shows in Canada.
Right.
Because of the legal issues that...
Yeah.
They didn't like people beating people up in certain ways because us Canadians are very polite. And no, there were certain laws in place that they didn't appreciate the UFC rules or the rules that weren't there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that makes a difference.
But like I said, it was the fighting styles were great in this.
They were.
Now, was there any major surprises in this that came out of nowhere for you? Or actually, no, the other one, there was another one. Let me go back to characters.
Rewind.
Didn't you say a couple weeks ago that someone was actually cast as the dragon in this?
No. There was a story that the dragon would be in the show.
It technically he was.
It was.
It was. Not, that's what I was looking for. Really see that's... a dragon, but the dragon was in the show.
That's why I was wondering in this one if the leader of, or I forget, Baku or whatever his name is. It was some
Bakudo.
Bakudo.
Yeah.
I was wondering if maybe he was going to be the dragon.
No.
Now, is he a character from the comics?
Bakudo is in the comics. He's a he is. I looked it up later. Yeah. Bakudo is. Yeah. He was like one of the daimyos of or chiefs of the hand.
Okay.
So he is basically the role that was in the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but I was expecting to see Xiao Lao. I was hoping to see Xiao Lao.
More than just the eyes.
Yeah. Well, in the very first episode, didn't they, because he talks about how he was, it was the Iron Fist to stand against Xiao Lao, if I remember right, and didn't they mention also that the hand worked with Xiao Lao or something like that? There was some connection there I thought they inferred.
No, the
Iron Fist stands against the hand.
He had to fight Xiao Lao
as part of his tournament to be able to get the Iron Fist, because isn't it the fire of the dragon that comes into him?
Yeah.
And that tattoo was burned onto him by the dragon. It wasn't really a tattoo.
The other one that is the symbol of the hand is the dragon without the wings. That's why I was wondering if Xiao Lao had something to do with the
hand. Well, see, now, in the comics, that dragon that you see is the symbol that is used by the Steel Serpent, who is
Davros?
Who is Davros?
Okay,
which is, and I think that's what you will see.
Which
you're going to see later.
Basically, a spinoff of Kalna or Kunlun.
No.
Because Davros, basically, you can see he's not going back to Kunlun.
He's the one who he took over from. What was the name of the guy in the Iron Fist comics who wanted the Iron Fist?
That was Davros.
It was Davros.
It was Davros.
So he's the one who always wanted it. So he's like. He's supposed to be Iron Fist's villain. He's supposed to be Danny's villain.
Well, I think anybody named Davros is going to be a villain.
Exactly.
And Doctor Who.
That's what I thought, too. I'm just like, really? Come on!
See, you know what it is? He's left the monks. Now he's going to go build himself a robot.
But he had to see the world that Danny was in and have Danny basically refuse to come back to protect Kunlun for him to basically turn on Danny. So he's coming back in some form.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you see him talking...
Did you see those throwing stars he made out of tinfoil? Come on.
Yeah.
he couldn't be a good
that
guy.
That actually reminded me... I mean, the character's a lot newer, but there's a character that's in one of the new rogues in The Flash. Actually, does origami and makes weapons out of origami.
There you go.
And actually, they're weapons.
And you saw that coming, because Danny made that little flower for
his character. Yeah, there was origami in here off and on throughout the whole thing.
And
they have to do something in their spare time.
and you see him talking to Joy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then Madame Gao's listening in, and you're just
I'm
like,
wondering if Madame Gao doesn't have some kind of relationship with Joy at this point.
Madame Gao is like a great villain. She's like, she does these mind trips, and she always gets away with it. She's still alive.
Yeah. They've also mentioned she's hundreds of years old.
And yet it seems like it's not her... It's not her purpose to kill Danny.
No.
And I don't know. She's just an awesome villain. She's just...
Yeah, I want to know the story about how is she immortal?
Uh-huh.
If not exactly. Immortal, just really,
well,
really
that's
old.
Why they... What is it? They were calling her Crane Mother, possibly, and which gives her a different... Gives her a different role in things.
That's interesting, because the martial arts that he learned, wasn't it the form of the Crane Mother or something like that, is what he was taught?
The Order of the Crane Mother. That
so
was
what's
the
chances that maybe she helped start Kunlun?
It is possible.
And she was in Kunlun. Ousted. She's obviously seen earlier Iron Fists.
Yeah.
So what's the chances she was ousted at
or
some
at least
point?
One.
Mm-hmm.
And started the hand.
At least one, yeah.
Because even when she was a prisoner of the hand, she didn't act like a prisoner.
No.
She knew
she
exactly
was comfy cozy.
She was fine. She's like, oh, they're not going to mess with me. I'm just going to stay here.
Yeah,
she's had worse. She even said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is nothing compared to what I've been through. So
exactly. She had a nice bed. It was, you know.
Now, one thing is also, you do see, she has powers also.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because she smacks Danny across the room from 3 feet away.
Well, finding out she was from Kunlun kind of made it that, yeah, she was going to do something. Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't have to touch you to throw you across the room.
No. So was it originally the monastery not just guys? Because it seems like the monastery now is all men.
Right.
Yeah, monastery is always all men. Yeah.
Right, but why would she be there?
But Kunlun,
yeah.
Well, Kunlun, is that... That may not be a monastery. May not be Kunlun. That may be the monastery.
Kunlun is one of the seven cities of heaven.
Yeah,
yeah. The monastery is in the city.
Kunlun.
Yeah. So it's bigger than just the monastery.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and then at the end, you will see. Obviously, since we're getting close to the end here, that you see there's no more Kunlun. Is that or I was wondering?
Well, no,
it
disappears.
It disappears.
But the way they portrayed it was he expected it to be there. And it wasn't there.
Well,
like,
the thing
it'd been
is,
destroyed, possibly.
It shows up every 15 years, but they did not say how long it stays.
Yeah,
right.
That's one of the things I was wondering. Like, how long is it there, and is it not going to be there when they show up again? And, of course, it wasn't.
That's one of the questions you get at the end of this, was because, like I said, the way he portrays it is,
it should have been there. Yeah. And the archway was broken.
The archway
It was partly
broken
when he got there, so does that have an effect?
And you
like,
see the hand soldiers dead in the past.
Exactly. Right.
So,
I think his friend Davert has
someone tried to attack, and something happened.
So,
but and then we have all of this martial arts thing, and then you have all the corporate stuff going on.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
With basically a zombie who keeps coming back to life and is the creepiest subplot ever.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Harold Meacham is supposedly dead. He's brought back to life, much like we see is going to happen to Elektra from the end of Daredevil season mm-hmm. 2. You know the hand was involved, so of course now he's betrothed to the hand for whatever they want to do with Rand, which is the whole heroin business. And that's the whole side of, you know, the corporate espionage and the legal side of things that can really get other people involved in this show.
And the legal side, that's the interesting part, because if you look, Danny had the lab analyze this synthetic heroin. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in it that would make it illegal.
Exactly.
This would be a totally legal substance.
Exactly.
Right.
And it is heroin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that happens with a lot of drugs now. You can actually organically make a lot of things that, if made chemically, would have been illegal.
Yeah. Well, that's the big one that people know about now is the vape pens.
Mm-hmm.
All your vape pens and stuff that they had to, the government scrambled to change the laws
mm-hmm.
so that it's still 18 and over because there's no tobacco in this.
Right.
It's basically mm-hmm. propylene glycol and nicotine.
Right.
And some flavoring.
And it's still addictive, and it's still bad for you. So,
Well, it's not. It's supposedly not as bad as cigarettes, but I'm not going to smoke it.
They've said it's pretty much just as bad now.
Ah, okay.
They've come out with enough studies.
I'm just waiting. As soon as they make weed legal across all the states, you know they already have the vape juice for it.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
So, but
dude, everything is bad for you.
Yeah, there's nothing that's any good for you. Even the fresh vegetables, you can find something in there that's not good for you.
Right.
So, but we're getting close to the end of this. Any final thoughts on what you thought about this show? And well, let's get into a little bit of where we're going with this.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of loose threads at the end of this, which mm-hmm. is good. You get Bakudo. Disappears. Yeah. So you don't know, did he actually die? Did he not die? Did his people take him, or did he leave on his own?
Right.
What's the possibility that he's the same as Harold, and he's had the same treatment, so when he dies, he wakes back up?
I think that's what the old woman is, too.
That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Madame Gao could be like that. But it's interesting, because Harold Meacham, it takes him 3 days to regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's why he wakes up in the swamp.
And now he's gone for good. There's no way he's coming back from that.
And it's great that his son, Ward, sat there and watched the box burn.
Yeah,
he made sure he was in that box.
I was almost expecting something to happen, but he looks through the window.
And then you get into it, you find out that the bully is being bullied, and then the father's the bully, but then the father's also being bullied.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was great, because that, in modern life, a lot of times if you find a kid who's a bully,
mm-hmm.
they were raised with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
If the kid's going to be a bully, a lot of times you've watched their parents, or a lot of times it's the father, but not always.
And those last words, what his father thought were the last words to Ward and Joy, basically telling his son he was a disappointment, but yeah, Joy, I love you.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I do like the, you watch the very beginning of the first couple episodes, especially showing them as kids,
yeah. mm-hmm.
that Ward's your villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not.
But by the end...
he's actually turned around to be the hero.
He's just...
And it looks, and actually from the way this ends, it looks like Ward is going to, they've switched spots between Ward and Joy.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. Ward is going to be your hero working with Danny to run the company. Mm-hmm. You see both their pictures there, but Joy, you see, starts working in the background.
She's
on,
talking with Davros.
Talking with Davros, and it looks, the two of them have flipped the coin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is almost like your yin and yang.
Yep.
She started with the, being the good, the white with a little bit of dark.
Well, mm-hmm. if you think about it, she was betrayed through the entirety of the show.
Yeah.
Right.
And all these people lying to her and that, and it just, by the end, she's like, okay then, I can do that too.
Exactly. So, but we have Bakudo still around somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Madame Gao is out there because there ain't no way they're ever getting rid of her.
No, she
was
sitting
there when they were talking.
I know.
Yeah, so she's out there.
Joy is a possible problem at some point coming up. And you get Danny and Colleen go find Kunlun is gone, which is hopefully that's what's going to lead into the Defenders somehow.
Well, I figured that Kunlun couldn't be there any longer because they can't have him going back to it because then it disappears.
Yeah, he has no reason to come back to New York.
Exactly. He's going to be back in New York. And being that he's supposed to be the one who can defeat the Hand,
yeah,
that's his reason for being with the Defenders.
Right.
There were so many times that, what's her name? Claire mentioned she's worked with all these other would-be crime fighters, mm-hmm. and they have powers too, and then he's going to do something that's almost impossible. She's like, you can't do this. You're not strong enough. How many times was I thinking, Claire, make a phone call.
Yeah, right.
You have friends that can help you.
I was thinking that too. Well,
it's the same problem I've had with some of the standalone Marvel films.
Right.
Like Iron Man, when they did like Iron Man 3. He's got this global threat that is trying to destroy the world. He's an Avenger, but he doesn't pick up a phone call.
Yeah. But see, he was done. Like, after what happened in the Avengers,
you have to look at the timing of things and whether they can get in touch
with
people.
It's like how easy it would be to just... I got all these other people. I can bring in the Hulk.
See, well, the thing is, throughout all the shows, Claire has tried to not get overly involved if she could help it.
Yeah.
Right.
But they keep, it's like the mob. They keep pulling her back in.
Yeah.
you know?
In this one, Claire does kick some butt.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's been learning to fight and she got weapons of her own.
I'll say the claws. Does she have anything like that in the comics at all? Does she fight at all in the comics?
No, in the
she's a different Claire, sort of they Night mix, Nurse is a different sort of character.
They mix Claire with a character called Night Nurse.
Yeah.
Claire Temple was the assistant to the doctor that was responsible for giving Luke Cage his powers. And Luke dated her off and on for a long time. Eventually, Claire kind of just goes off and does her own thing. She's not really tied to the whole superhero thing.
Okay.
Night Nurse was a character that was...
Actually, Night Nurse was from Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
The one he was friends with that he visited at night in the ward. Technically, that was Night Nurse.
That was Night Nurse.
Because she's a nurse on
Nurse
the night
at night. Exactly. Right. It makes sense. But that's how they mix them together.
They mix the two of them together. And so a Night Nurse doesn't really fight either, but this I like what they've done to kind of create a Nick Fury for them that is sort of like the centerpiece bringing everything together. Yeah. So
I'm wondering if, because Defenders only has, six or eight episodes,
Eight episodes.
So it's like, that's one, it seems like, because they still have to pull everybody together and do all this stuff, that one almost should be the 13th episode also.
Right.
But again, it's going to be a really fast-moving story.
It does depend on the conflict. From what I've heard, there's some kind of conflict, and all four of them end up at it at the same time. Mm-hmm. They're not... Defenders is not like Avengers. It's not like street level Avengers. These people have no choice because they're fighting the same evil to be together and decide to fight together.
Okay.
They don't consider themselves a team. It's kind of like they could split up at any time. It doesn't matter to them.
Yeah.
It's like a loose.
Yeah. They just happen to all come together to fight the Hand or whatever else is coming around.
Yeah.
And it's same place, same time kind of thing.
Now, with what they've done, Colleen Wing, they actually gave her a superhero name in this. When she was doing the cage fighting, she was the Daughter of the Dragon.
Colleen and Misty together are known as the Daughters of the Dragon.
Ah.
Yes.
So that's not a new thing.
I'm wondering, with all these...
And don't they start their own PI agency called
Nightwing, was it?
Not Nightwing.
No,
it's the Nightwing agency or something.
Yeah, Nightwing... something, but yeah.
But yeah, they start their own detective agency, and they fight as the Daughters. I actually have some of the Daughters of the Dragon comics.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting that they probably hyphenated it.
Mm-hmm. Nightwing Restorations.
Copyrights.
Yeah. But it's Knight with a K, because Misty Knight has a K.
So. Nightwing Restorations, that's the name of it.
I was like, another connection of taking shots across the bow between
and that's the
two
thing. So, so you'll have those two together if they go that way. And then, of course, Danny and Luke have to meet.
Yeah.
Because I'm they are the bestest of buddies. Because
they've already said they're probably going to do an Iron Fist 2. But I wonder if they're going to possibly just, instead of going Iron Fist 2 and Luke Cage 2, just do a Heroes for Hire.
Yeah.
I will love
Heroes
for Hire.
I would think that, considering they're going to meet in Defenders, any second season of either of the two of them has to establish Heroes for Hire.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have a second season of, say, Luke Cage, but then it'll go to Heroes for Hire instead of a second season of Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they'll be together anyway.
Right.
Okay. Well, looking to the future, what other shows do we have confirmed? We know we have a Daredevil Season 3 coming at some point.
Right.
This is all after Defenders. Defenders is coming.
Defenders is coming later this year.
Season 1 of Punisher.
Punisher is coming by the
Daredevil
end of this year.
This year, yeah.
We have... They
confirmed
they
a second Jessica Jones isn't there?
Yes,
yeah.
They did, yes.
Okay. What other ones do we have confirmed? I think, did they say there is a Luke Cage 2 right now?
I don't think they've confirmed.
So those are the only three we have totally confirmed. But they have confirmed as a phase two of sorts for the Netflix shows.
Right.
So it's going to move ahead to something else after this.
Right.
Now that may be phase two leads to the, like we said, the Heroes for Hire or something like that.
That's true.
So we don't know where this is going. What other actual groups has, say, Punisher been a part of? Has he ever been part of any of the hero groups?
Punisher, like the only other group that I could see
him doing would be
Marvel Knights.
Marvel Knights was,
okay.
Because it was Punisher, Ghost Rider... Who else was in Marvel?
Well,
there's like four
Daredevil.
Of them that are Daredevil, and there's one.
Isn't that where Moon Knight was in?
Moon Knight.
Okay, because we've mentioned before that there's rumors of a possible Moon Knight show. Netflix, if I remember right, has come out publicly and even said they want Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that
Ghost
that's
Rider
where your phase two is going to go.
Could do
is
so much
direction.
Better as a show that way.
It would, yes.
So maybe they'll go that direction with it and do the actual Ghost Rider on the motorcycle.
Yes. So. I don't know. I would love to see either Marvel Knights or the Midnight Suns. The Midnight Suns is Ghost Rider, Blade.
That's the other one that I think Netflix actually talked about, or someone was talking about saying that they wanted that to go to Netflix.
Technically, Midnight Suns could be Ghost Rider, Blade, and Punisher.
Okay.
If you wanted to go that way with it, you could. I'd be down for that.
Yeah. So. Whatever it is, you're going to have to use, because of the way they've established the Netflix side of the TV universe, it's going to have to be New York City Heroes.
Right.
But then again, that's Marvel in general. Marvel, what is it, 75% of all their characters come out of New York City?
Pretty much.
And it's going to be interesting to see if, once you get to Infinity War, if any of these street-level characters end up being involved. Because Infinity War is the one that really does have virtually every Marvel character in it.
Right. Yeah.
So it depends what they... Because they've already said the movie's going to be huge with characters.
Yeah.
Right, so...
What I was saying about the New York City is, like, it makes sense. Because Kirby and Stan Lee lived in New York City. Marvel, even to this point, I think, are still based in New York City, right?
Yep.
So that they're writing what they know.
Yep.
So when they talk about these neighborhoods, they know these neighborhoods. They knew what Harlem, and they knew about the area of Harlem.
And
they
that's one of
Hell's
the
Kitchen.
Things that brings people into Marvel as fans, too, is that Marvel is much more grounded in the real world.
Yeah.
And a lot of people like that because they can recognize the places.
See, for me, we talked about this way back when we were talking about our origins of comics. With me, that's what DC was, the fact that it's all it's fantasy. Mm-hmm. This has always been a fantasy world.
Right. I love that whole idea of being based in the real world, because when I go to New York, I can pinpoint where the Daily Bugle is.
Yeah.
I can pinpoint where the Baxter Building is. I can go to Hell's Kitchen. You know,
you don't want to, but you could.
Well, no, actually, you do.
It's improved. Harlem has improved. Hell's Kitchen has improved.
So
you
get to live in this world that you basically is your fantasy world to a certain degree. So I like that. You know, I have no way
you
of going
to... You can visit comic
to,
sets. You don't have to visit movie sets.
Right.
Yeah.
I have no way of going to Gotham City. I have no way of going to...
Well, you can, but that's just because you got to
know. No.
Gotham was based... I think it's an amalgam, usually, at this point, of Detroit and Chicago.
Yeah, but see, then
but
I got to go two cities.
But it's based on... You can't actually visit Gotham.
No, you can visit Metropolis. Because Cleveland's Metropolis.
No.
Not now, but it was originally.
No, Metropolis was mostly Toronto with a mix of Cleveland when it first started.
The original skyline that they drew for Metropolis was Cleveland.
Right.
Because they both lived in Cleveland.
Right.
Right. But it's not the, you know, it's
but it's not Metropolis.
It's not Metropolis.
There is no actual Metropolis.
You can visit Marvel's New York.
Yeah, you know, like, I can, now, you can probably, they probably have tours like that.
Probably, Marvel's New York. Be doing it.
You can go to Manhattan and find where the Rand Building is.
Exactly. You know that. I like that.
That's the thing. These Netflix series have actually all been filmed in New York City.
Yes, exactly.
So you can see everywhere they filmed actually these buildings and stuff.
Yeah. It's like, hey, that's a Chinese restaurant that Luke Cage saved a nice lady.
See, you there
know.
You go.
That's where the Hatchet Men are at.
That's right.
So, but wrapping this up, I think we've all pretty much stated that we love this show.
Yes.
This was awesome. It fits right in with the other ones. We can see what the critics are seeing, but disagree with the results.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll say this, because I said this on Mighty Marvel Geeks, and this is, like, people act like slow's a bad thing, but here's something you have to think about what you get with slow. You get brisket and pulled pork. And those aren't bad things. I'm just saying.
I'm
like,
still waiting for the invite to come to the Kylan or the Tolles family cookout. Kylan's been smoking the brisket all day.
I'm just saying.
I've heard legends.
Iron Fist is the barbecue of Marvel.
I'm just saying people act like slow's a bad thing.
Well, Marvel,
and it's not.
Marvel Comics or Marvel Entertainment figured a long time ago how to work the slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
How long did from Avengers came out, what, 2012?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Five or 6 years after it was first even hinted at in Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So they've learned about the art of the slow burn.
Well, and if you think about it, and this is why a lot of people didn't start watching the show, Arrow, when it first came on.
Yes.
Arrow was a very slow show to begin with.
Yes.
And people didn't watch it because they didn't get superheroes in tights and capes. Like, they didn't get their heroes bang in the show. And same with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You didn't get the heroes bang in the show. And people who enjoy that sort of thing, we really get into that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we know it's building to something, and we know something's coming out of it. And that's basically what Iron Fist is.
Well, that's what Berlanti and Kreisberg over on the DC side have done very well, is the shows are all in the same universe, but they are totally different shows.
Right.
Arrow, you still get the slow burn over the whole season. It's a lot darker and grittier and realistic for a superhero show.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Flash is, it's a Flash. It's fast. It's it's bright and shiny, and it's superhero.
Right.
This is your superhero show.
Right.
Supergirl is getting in that direction, too, but you're also getting some of the journalism side and some of the... Supergirl is slowly but changing this, but it was basically Superman in a dress.
Right.
Right.
The first season was that. Second season is there somewhat, but you're getting a lot more of your alien side, and a lot more of the science fiction side of superhero comics through Supergirl.
Right.
Right.
And then Legends is balls to the wall, crazy,
everything.
Campy. This is everything superheroes should have been at some point.
I think it's why I like Legends the best out of all of them.
You cannot take any of it serious. It is the campiest, the craziest thing you're going to see.
But
that's what's the charm of it.
And then it makes sense for Iron Fist. New York is not just made up of Hell's Kitchen and Harlem and all the worst of the worst and the poorest and all that.
Right.
We have to show the rest of New York at some point, and that's what Danny brings
in. This is the corporate side of New York City, which is a large part of that city.
Yes.
Exactly. It makes total sense.
So, but as we're wrapping this up, like I said, everything... I'm not going to worry about the brown meter for this, because I think it's going to be up in the 4 or 5s or higher for all of us. We all enjoyed this. So, Vicky, did you have anything else before we wrap up the Iron Fist talk?
No, I mean, Netflix knows what they're doing. I wish others would learn from them, but I think they did a great job.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, also, you gotta give big props to Jeff Loeb. Because if you look all the way back to this newest run of Marvel Television, and because even in the animated stuff, he's running Marvel Television, isn't he? His name is on all of this.
Yes, right. Yeah.
So it's like, it's great that he's allowing Marvel to tell Marvel stories.
And to do it well and know where to make changes, but those changes actually add to the characters.
Yeah,
because a lot of times when they make changes, you're almost like, why did you even bother?
Well, this,
but
with
they
this,
did that and it works.
I don't think this one is as much knowing when to make changes. It's allowing them to make changes that help the story.
Yes.
It's not like in the late 70s, because you could bring up basically Wonder Woman and The Hulk from late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Both pretty good shows, and most people agree that those were good shows.
Mm-hmm.
But The Hulk, other than the big green guy smashing things, mm-hmm. had very little to do with the comics.
Right. It was...
Wonder Woman...
It was the fugitive.
Yeah.
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 But it still worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that one, I think, was changed to fit television.
It was.
Is what that was. And so, these ones are not changed to fit a story on the television.
No.
These, the changes, are fit the story of what they're telling.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And the whole thing with this Marvel Netflix partnership from the beginning, Marvel went to Netflix and said, "We want to do a multi-year, multi-series storyline." Because from the beginning they said, "We have these four characters, they're going to each need their own show, and we're going to lead to this fifth show, and it all has to come together." It was not, "Here's one character with one season and one story idea, and then we'll go from there." They had this plan from the start to bring these four together into Defenders ultimately. So it was a big, big risk on Netflix's part.
It was basically a proactive contract, not a reactive contract.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So. And apparently, I just saw this on one of the blogs. This weekend, as we're recording this, they have wrapped Defenders.
Okay.
Defenders has just finished filming.
Where was the trailer?
And the thing is, it just finished filming, and they don't have a release date.
Yeah.
They're saying summer, so if you think about the other shows, every time we see the trailer, we get the release date.
Yeah.
So, they don't have that yet.
I'm thinking August, September.
Yeah.
And actually, D23 is way too far out. Marvel to have any actual,
they won't wait to drop it at Comic-Con, they may drop the first episode at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
That's what they've been doing with a lot of shows now. Well, at conventions, they're dropping first episodes.
We got less than a month till the actual Defenders trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should have had a teaser of some sort at the end of this. Really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so, a little bit.
But as we're wrapping this up, outside of Iron Fist, any final thoughts on anything that we've talked about or that you want to bring up?
Well, considering we've just spent 13 or so hours watching Iron Fist, there's nothing else we've paid much attention to.
So, Ms. Vicky, do you have anything else?
I'm just curious about where the dragon is.
Yeah, is he going to have a bigger part in somewhere? That'd be Iron Fist 2.
I don't think the dragon needs to be in it now, though, because he is Iron Fist, and they told you how he got it.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of what's in that big damn hole that was at the end of Daredevil 2 they took Elektra to.
Egg-looking thing.
And the fact that Colleen was taken into that area that Daredevil cleared out of all those people being pumped for blood, because that's what they were going to do to her.
Right. Okay.
And all that blood was going to that hole.
So is that maybe a dragon egg?
There's a connection somewhere.
Wait, hold on. I just thought about something.
Uh-oh. They can't have their own dragon.
You remember after the fight at the Institute?
Uh-huh.
You remember Kabuto told the guy, he said
Bakuto.
this guy's our future.
Yeah, about the one who had been at her dojo.
You put all this together, if they're breeding their own dragon, what's to say that they're not going to take
their own version of
to build their own Iron Fist?
Iron Fist. Yeah.
And that's what would happen with
one-on-one competition.
Yeah, because Davros becomes Steel Serpent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So we may be looking at what we're doing for the next season of Iron Fist.
Possibly. Okay.
And now we have months to wait to find out.
Or yes, years even.
Years after that, yeah.
So,
that's true.
But, Geeksters, I think that's going to wrap this up.
Absolutely.
We've gone a long time with this. Which is fine. I mean, when you got something good to talk about, that's what you
do. The last episode was short.
Yeah.
So, we can eat a long one.
Well, I didn't want to stretch it. It felt like the right time. I was like,
No, it was a good one. It was still a good episode. Listen to the last episode if you've been skipping through the Iron Fist stuff on this one.
So, Geeksters, with that, we're looking forward to Defenders. Remember that next week, what's the date on next week? I don't have my calendar right in front of me.
Next week.
I know you got yours open.
We will be at the Meeple on Monday, March 27th.
Monday, March 27th, you said?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We'll be at the Malted Meeple. What's this? That's cool. Vicky just found on Facebook the actual picture of the wrap.
Oh, no, that was the picture from Entertainment Weekly a month ago.
Oh, okay. But that's still cool.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen that.
The four of
yet.
Them together, yeah. They had a big article on it.
Oh, cool.
Luke in a yellow shirt, yay.
Come see us at the Meeple. We're going to be talking Disney live-action films.
We want all the Disney freaks there.
That's right. We've not talked a lot of Disney, so we know everybody loves Disney. Come out, hang out, get a milkshake, Play a game before we get there, or play a game after we leave.
That's right.
Either way, we want to fill this place out. And with that, for everybody here, remember, you can always get us at geekwatch1.com. Every social media outlet possible that we know of, we're on as GeekWatch1.
We're trying.
Just search for us. Email is geekwatch1@gmail.com. You can also find us on the TangentBound and Weeby Geeks networks at TangentBoundNetwork.com and WeebyGeeksPC.com. And with all that, for Kylan and for Miss Dawn and for Miss Vicky and for myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.